What's up?
I tell you how I really felt about you, but I'll wait till I see you in person.
Oh man.
Have a list here. I have a list.
I don't doubt it. I don't. I have many people keep a list on reasons to hate Kyle, especially my
Sounds like
wife.
a movie.
Re
That sounds like a
reasons to hate
90s
Kyle.
comedy.
Yeah. 10 things I hate about Kyle. One, the name Kyle. All right. I'm done messing with that. It's gonna be an interesting day, full of conversation on DC, which is fun because it's not Marvel. And we've talked enough smack about Marvel anyways. Everything's recording, so hello everyone. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and Genreverse Podcast Network. Hit that red subscribe button on YouTube if you're watching us there and you haven't already, and follow us on your favorite podcast app. We're now on Amazon Music as well, so Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple, all of those and more. Check out LRMonline.com every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions. I'm Kyle. That's Manny. Social media information in the description box or in front of you if you're watching us on YouTube. And yeah, man. So we know there's been changes coming to DC, and for a while they hired, James Gunn and Peter Safran to be the co-runners. You got a creative mind, you've got a more producerial business mind working together instead of a one guy, one leader to rule them all. And we've been very curious. We keep hearing about the plans. We heard about the retreat that they took to go hammer out a plan. We've also seen people talking about people by I like Henry Cavill and The Rock saying things that people are taking as gospel because, well, hell, they're the stars. You would think if anyone saying them would matter, it would be them. But that doesn't seem to be the whole case. And the Hollywood Reporter had an exclusive out that Manny got to kind of break down at LRMonline.com. I'll share both on the screen with you guys. But Manny, what did we learn yesterday?
I'll be honest, nothing was really a surprise. I was more surprised that Wonder Woman 3 was going forward. With everything that had been cut, and just kind of the reception that night Wonder Woman 84 had,
Trash
it was
movie.
kind of a surprise that it'd be like, yeah, sure, we're gonna get that done. So part of so everything that happened, I guess, the people started spilling the beans on some potential changes coming forward. The biggest news of them all, of course, is being that Wonder Woman 3 was not moving forward. A reason why this is kind of significant is because of the fact that just 2 days ago, Gal Gadot, the star of w Wonder Woman, Diana Prince herself, came out and said how excited she was about continuing to play the role. Only to 24 hours later, news come out that, yeah, that's not happening anymore.
At least
No,
her solo movie's not
at least
moving
the
forward, and
continue at
it's
least the continuation of that Patty Jenkins storyline that she had been working on for two films already. And that's consequential to the fact that, according to sources from the Hollywood Reporter, Safran and Gunn pretty much want to squash the Snyderverse. Like, done. Like clean slate. Like, we're gonna move forward in an entirely different direction, which, thank God, because the last thing you want is to give that crowd any more hope than what Warner
they've
Brothers
had a
did.
lot of mixed
Yeah,
signals for
stuff.
sure. They've
So
had a lot of mixed
just
signals.
yeah, just finish it, just wrap it up. Not that I haven't enjoyed some of those movies, I really have, but just stop.
You know, on that, out of the Hollywood Reporter, what they say their sources told them specifically that I found so interesting about this Wonder Woman part is this. They from the Hollywood Reporter, sources say that Jenkins recently submitted her treatment, co-written with Geoff Johns, and that Gunn and Safran, as well as Warner Brothers Pictures co-chairs and co-CEOs Michael DeLuca and Pamela Abdi, broke the news to the filmmaker, telling her the project, as it stood, did not fit in with the new but still unfolding plans. That, to me, I mean, like you said, 84 didn't have a good reception. That, to me, sounds like what you turned in. Not. They say it doesn't fit, but Wonder Woman was kind of one of those where they could have plugged her in anywhere, anyway. Yeah. She, you know, so is it that it didn't fit, or is it that it was badly written again? Is it a trash story again?
Well, I think it was probably because it followed the same vein as the Snyderverse, as far as, because that's where it lived, that's where it's from.
Possibly.
So there's no real surprise there. And so it really wouldn't surprise me if she continued on as Wonder Woman.
Yeah. But I think she might.
Arguably, though, if they decide to move in a different direction, I also don't blame Warner Brothers, because it would save them a ton of money. Because she's already played the role for several times, and as celebrities play roles longer, a lot of times they get more expensive, which is why Tony Stark is dead. It wasn't for that emotional moment, ladies and gentlemen. It was Disney not wanting to pay Robert Downey Jr. the crazy amounts of money that he would made, because he had such a solid contract that he made from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Where, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he had to be the highest paid actor in every one of those movies, based on that, which I could look that up later, but I think that
I'm not 100%
it was very
sure.
Very, very smartly done. But they had to get rid of him. But of course they
didn't. I don't know. I would hope the Russos chose to kill him for story. I would hope. It made a lot of really good sense.
No, it did. A lot of those characters had to be put down, for lack of a better term. But part of it, I 100% believe that Disney's like, all right, we can't keep paying this guy.
I could see that.
So I'm glad that version of the story is dead. I am not happy. If she's not continuing, not happy, because I think she was great and wonderful as Wonder Woman. As so many people text me yesterday wanting clarification what's going on. And we'll see what happens. But I'm very glad that the Snyderverse really is we're done with it. So with that, it comes the big question of Superman, which the Hollywood Reporter says that there was a cameo that was filmed back in September for the Flash movie coming out in June. But now it's that appearance is in limbo, because they don't want to keep teasing something that may not happen. Mm-hmm. Which is very much a mixed signal, because of the fact that they just had a cameo in Black Adam, set Superman. And then 2 days later, Henry Cavill comes out and says, I'm back. So that's another one. And it makes his job at
The Witcher, which we know that he was highly unsatisfied with that. But we also know, dude's got to get paid. I have to wonder if he thought that the Superman stuff would be more in limbo, if he may have stuck it out with The Witcher. But we do know that most of that appears to be his dissatisfaction with the direction of the show and character.
I really do feel that he's gonna get another shot at Superman. I think too much noise has been made. And I don't think Zasloff and Gunn are that kind of closed-minded to realize what they have in the opportunity to make a good Superman. I mean, to some degree, I know that the WB Pictures executives they wanted another shot at these
versions,
these characters with a different version of Justice League. So it really wouldn't surprise me that he continues on. I have a feeling that because, and well, I'll get to it in a moment because it kind of ties it all together with the bow. The other news that came out of it is, or that though the rumor, we'll still call them rumors because I've seen none of this is confirmed. That this is the last film for Aquaman. The Lost Kingdom, which will be out in December on Christmas. And
Hollywood Reporter's got it written in here as Lost City.
Yeah, I was very confused for a second about that, but hey, you know, we're all human, we all make typos.
Danny loves that movie, don't you, Danny? Danny on Breaking Geek, which you guys can find Fridays here on the Genreverse Podcast Network and YouTube channel. Look at that, I'm a professional. Go, man.
Sure, professional. You can say the word, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that a dig at my stutter? Screw you, dude.
No, actually, stutter or not, the fact that you can enunciate anything is a surprise.
Oh my god.
But that it doesn't mean that he's done with DC. He's actually gonna jump over and play Lobo.
Potentially. Yeah, that's been something he wanted, I think, maybe even before Aquaman. And I know a lot of people have fan casted him, and I could see it. The dude's got the swagger. Like, he's got the gruff. he's got it.
Yeah, it's funny because even the idea of it, I was like, wow, that's kind of really good casting. I don't see why you wouldn't do that. But again, you need some trust with the audience in order to have a Lobo movie. You can't just throw out a Lobo movie. No. You need the pillars, which of course are Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, in order to be able to build that trust, because in any franchise, it's about building a strong foundation. Hell, Marvel did it so well for many years. Your Iron Man, your Thor, your Hulk, etc. And then you can give us things like Guardians of the Galaxy. Then you can move on to different movies that now branch out that. You can say, okay, this is by the same people who gave us this, so this must be pretty good, and thus building a cohesive universe. Yeah, you don't just do a Mr. Terrific movie or whatever. With that said, one superhero we haven't really talked about because like he seems to be in limbo is Batman, who apparently they're leaving alone. Matt Reeves is in his own little world, and that's where they're leaving him. So he's still writing the second film. There's no reason to believe why any of that's going to change, because there's also two shows attached to it. One that will take place in Arkham, and one that'll be based around the Penguin, both for HBO Max or Max or HBO whatever or Warner Brothers streaming, or you know, whatever they want to call it. And then, of course, since we're talking about the Batman universe, Todd Phillips' Joker sequel, so they're doing that too. So
that's the dumbest part of almost the dumbest part of all of it. But to be fair, the first film was a very well executed film. It was just so predictable, so on the nose for exactly what. I mean,
when like you know the character, like you know what's gonna happen, like it's
well not only that, but just when they were talking about the inspiration of the films, when you actually bring in De Niro, like everything plays out and it's all leading up to just one moment, and you already knew it was coming, and it looks good, it looks beautiful, but even the behavioral health, mental health issues, and the big reveal, like all of that was so clearly telegraphed from the first act that it was just a little anticlimactic for
me. The thing is, he was only given $30 million to make that movie because he was supposed to fail.
I know and it made over $1 billion, and it's a very competent film.
They had no faith that he would be able to turn a film. And which he really stuck it to the executives at that point.
Oh yeah, he did.
So, doing
a musical with Gaga.
Look, he because he's made over $1 billion, he's earned the right to have a little bit of creative freedom.
He has.
What he's gonna do with that?
I'm not happy with it.
If he's gonna Nolan it or what or Taita it, where he's just gonna go off the rails, then okay, you just don't give him another movie. But but at this point, just give it a shot. But of course, the whole thing was predictable. But it was also, what I really like is that it finally took a comic book character and brought him into that cinema that sometimes is criticized for it not being. That's what I really liked. And of course, that's why somebody won an Oscar for it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to go back to the new. Go ahead. You go first.
I was going
to
say with that whole, Snyderverse being over thing, the one movie, and we know there's cameos like you had mentioned filmed for it, the one movie that could actually lead us into the next era of DC is The Flash. I mean, everyone knows that Flashpoint has been a phrase thrown around with this movie, for this movie, around this movie. Everyone has seen the potentials for what old Warner Brothers and DC wanted to do with Sacha Kaye and Batgirl and Keaton and all that going forward. I have no doubt that a lot of that stuff was true and in the works, in the plans, before, holy crap, we don't know how to make money set in. And it's interesting when you read, they don't know if certain things will stay in The Flash. Somehow, some way, they have to pick a jump on point and say that this is the start of everything new. Otherwise, you still leave, especially when you have Aquaman Lost Kingdom coming out, you leave people with that bit of confusion of what is canon now, what isn't, what is important viewing going forward. Does anything before 2025 even matter anymore? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really curious as to the PR side, the public side, the messaging that we're going to get, if we're going to get something a little bit more concrete next year. You know what I'm saying? Going forward, mm-hmm. Or, will we just have to wait until The Flash to see if anything happens with that? But I do think, for better or worse, mostly better, coming out and saying, yes, look, the Snyderverse stuff is done. Or if we're wrong and we're reading this wrong and they're going, no, we're going full-fledged, just whatever you're going to do, make it absolute as soon as possible. Rip that Band-Aid off, and because you're going to piss off one side regardless. Even though it does seem like it's Snyderverse done, gone, those characters, those versions of the characters, even potentially the actors in them, gone. It's time for DC to have a little bit of direction, and hopefully Gunn and them can come out with it publicly sooner rather than later. It'd be good for the stockholders too.
What's crazy about it is that 2023 is going to have 4 DC films,
mm-hmm.
starting with Shazam, Fury of the Gods, then The Flash, then Blue Beetle, then mm-hmm. Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom, which is weird, right? Because The Flash should go last if that's kind of the direction they want to go in, because then, like you said, in case our audience, I'm sure they do because they're all nerds, the Flash could pretty much the Flash is one of the most powerful characters in comic books, period. I think people and even us comic book fans sometimes underestimate how freaking powerful the Flash is, where he's able to manipulate time in a way that I really don't think that many other characters can very easily. So with one thought of him going back to want to save his mom, he could change everything.
Flashpoint, yeah.
Yeah, the Flashpoint. And everyone would just go, oh, okay, it was Flashpoint. And it's really that easy. But it's been established. That's something that's been established in comics, and it's been done in TV. And because of that, there really would be no like, oh, that's such a cheesy way out. Well, is it? Yeah, no, but it's actually a very, very, very important point in DC lore, which could lead us into a better direction. Yeah. So with that said, what the point I wanted to make earlier, now that we've talked really about the kind of Aquaman, Superman, and Batman, and Wonder Woman, not Batman really, is that I think conversations have already been had with all of these celebrities because of the fact that if you heard a couple of weeks ago when Momoa was promoting the Netflix series that he's doing, series or film, whichever one it was,
Slumberland.
He talked about working with Gunn during an interview with one of the late shows, and he's like, well, what are you working like, what kind of things are you working on? And he says, if you know my comic book history, which I've talked about, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure that's Lobo as a fan as he is of the project. So I think that conversation has already been had with him. I don't think Henry Cavill comes in and does a cameo if, regardless of who's in charge,
yeah,
he's not going to be a part of it. And then just the fact that Gal Gadot, I'm sure she already know what's going on, because I mean, this, I'm sure these conversations didn't just happen today. These are things that happen through a course of time. I think they all have an idea of what's going to, as far as not necessarily the story, but their place as far as actors. And I do believe that I would like to think that they're coming, though, them particularly are coming back because of the way they talk. I don't think Gal Gadot puts out a statement like that without knowing that she's, I guess you can say, quote unquote, safe.
Yeah, I believe honestly that we're just going to see different versions of them, regardless of what DC projects you like or don't like, we can all admit that the overall structure of it, even the idea that, hey, there's a multiverse, which the CW made very, very clear, mm-hmm. including the DC films, the DCEU, as it used to be called, films being brought into it via Ezra Miller's Flash making a cameo on a CW show. It's still messy because you have the very popular and very beloved Suicide Squad and Peacemaker stuff with Amanda Waller, who mm-hmm. was also in Black Adam. And that's directly connected to things in Batman versus Superman. There's so many tendrils here that you do have to look at, the Flash being, because what else would do it? It's not going to be Blue Beetle. It's not going to be Shazam and Lost Kingdom. Really, you're going to have what I agree with you is that a lot of these characters are not characters, but actors are going to survive, but not necessarily in their current incarnations, their current, for lack of a better phrase, Snyder versions. It doesn't take much for Barry to run really, really fast, or Wally for that matter, to run really, really fast and go collect. And I say that because we might at the end of The Flash end up with Wally instead of Barry. But it doesn't take anything for them to go run really fast and collect heroes from across time in the multiverse to face a bad guy. And like we've talked about what we expected in Marvel's multiverse setup of an amalgamation of characters coming from different universes to live in 616 instead of constantly playing in other ones, I could see them having him run around grabbing people to face a serious threat with a new Justice League. And it is Cavill in a more traditional suit. It is... I don't know if they'll go with old man Keaton. I hope not. But, you know, Batfleck, whatever. I like Pattinson. I like Robert Pattinson better, but they seem to want the Batman to be its own thing. But you could have Gal Gadot in a, you know, that's what I kind of think will happen for some of them. But like you said, Momoa maybe changing characters, and that would really fit with the whole multiverse aspect of it. Knowing Gunn, he could even make you look a lot like this yeah, Aquaman from another universe. You mm-hmm. know, like I could see Gunn allowing a joke like that in the film.
Well, cause, yeah,
but regardless, whatever they do, they kind of because look how angry we've been at Marvel for not telling us what's going on next. And we don't mean greenlit movies, we mean like where's the arc. If you're not going to make it clear in your show, then you got to make it clear outside of your projects, not just shows, movies as well. DC's kind of got the opposite now. I don't think they've got any projects except for the Flash coming up that can explain any of that. So now it's kind of like you guys have to come out with some messaging off screen, off the big screen or streaming, whatever. You guys know what I'm saying. They need to tell us directly a little, some clarity, some.
Yeah, I agree. It's gonna, and I think they will. I think that they're smart enough to know, to watch Marvel and see what worked and what didn't. And now with four phases, one of the advantages that DC has is that they can go back and look at all four phases and say this worked and this didn't. The other question mark is also, like you said, kind of this isn't a hard reset, because you still have the second season of Peacemaker that's being made, and then you also have it sounds like you still have Margot Robbie as a Harley Quinn, because of the fact that she's been very vocal about wanting to do something with Poison Ivy as far as a relationship.
She's a really good
WB Harley ambassador
from the Suicide Squad. She was fine in the first Suicide Squad movie, but and I didn't see Birds of Prey
did really well. I was just,
it did
honestly,
not do really well, but you mean like you liked it well enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But Birds of Prey was a great.
I did like the Suicide Squad. She was great in that.
Yeah, and so it all together it I think my biggest issue with Birds of Prey is that we didn't see more of Ian McGregor as Black Mask, because he was a great version of the character. It's just. And then, I mean, like, even like hypothetically, this report is what Guns and Saffron wants to do. They still have to get her to poop for Zaslav.
Yeah.
Regardless of how maybe off the books, maybe Gunn wants to be doing those anti-heroes and things like that. We've already heard from Zaslav several times saying that the cornerstone of the DC films are going to be the Batmans, the Supermans, the Wonder Womans. So those are going to be the ones that need to be done first. Yeah. So yeah. You still got to get it approved by your boss. And it's going to, we'll see. The thing is, and I get it, this is the closest thing we've had to a cohesive DC news anything in a while. And things are so fluid. I caution everyone to be patient, because we may not have an actual reveal of what the plan is. Maybe until San Diego.
Maybe. Like I said, man, I think they should come out and give some things to quell down some of these rumors and kind of set people's expectations, because waiting until the Flash, man, you're relying on people kind of being willing to see that movie regardless of Ezra Miller's past, current actions, apology or what, to set. And then there's always the potential that even the Flash doesn't quite set the scene right, because we know certain things have already been filmed or are in post or being filmed for Beyond. It kind of makes you, the uncertainty doesn't sit well in the information age, in the instant information age. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but the thing is that WB Discovery has so much going on that I don't blame them. They're still cutting fat.
Yeah.
They have their streaming service that they want to roll out in the spring. Their plans aren't even done. They're going to present their ideas supposedly next week. So given that right now it's almost the end of the year, I would be surprised if we had an announcement in July. especially because you have a full slate of films of just DC centric films from WB for 2023, they can hold off as long as they want, and with as much as people talk, I don't think they really care.
I just think having that amount of uncertainty and negativity, because uncertainty breeds negativity, surrounding these projects, it would make me worried about their performance and generating buzz, with people even wondering, are these upcoming movies even important to the future? Are any of these characters sticking around? Can I skip these and pick a new jump on point in 24 or 25? Those are the things that I start thinking about when I'm like, these guys need to say something. The plan hasn't been presented, and not saying they need to say something tomorrow. I'm saying they need something sooner rather than later.
Well, I do believe that maybe the second quarter might be something, because of the fact that investors might start getting a little antsy.
that might be the
breaking point. Just because, it's a lot of money that they've been putting into it and also taking out of it, and they've been kind of taking a lot of heat for different decisions and things like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So. I can see that. So I think ideally what would be really cool is to either hold a live or a
fandom.
I mean WonderCon is just around the corner also in April.
Yeah.
And they have had big panels there before, including Wonder Woman. They've done Aquaman. They've done Shazam. That has been a source for DC announcements. Actually, it's been considered kind of the DC home show for a while.
Yeah.
Except for the recent years, and Zaslav has said that he wants to kind of concentrate on some of the bigger shows. WonderCon is a bigger show. They did have a presence over at New York Comic Con, so it's coming. So there's going to be time for it. I just say tell people to be patient, because it takes time, and I know that they want to make sure they get it right, because they're trying to build something for the next 10 years. And as ambitious as they are, I mean, I think it's a mistake to connect everything the way they want to, because including video games.
I agree. We had a conversation about that.
But if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. And you know what? I'm all for it. I'm all for content. I still think that that despite maybe not the quality being there in the films, the golden age of DC, unfortunately, was with the Snyderverse, connected with the CW shows, which gave us, just a vast array of characters and situations and storylines. And we got so much content, and DC was riding high at that time, especially, I mean, everything. I'm talking movies, TV shows, comic books. It was all selling. DC Rebirth, one of the best things they had done in a very long time.
Yeah.
Because everything was selling. Hell, Elvar Queen was one of their biggest selling books. All the Batman books were doing well. Superman with Dan Jurgens was fantastic. I can go on and name a bunch of stuff, but it's just, I mean, Wonder Woman, the first movie, it set the tone as far as, oh wow, we can get this kind of film. Of course, it all fell apart after that. But
that kind of gives, I hate to do this, but it gives Zack Snyder credit, because by Gal's or not gal, Patty Jenkins's own admission that Snyder, both Zack and what's his wife's name? I forget. Both
Debbie,
of them,
yeah.
Debbie, there it is. Zack and Debbie had more hands and more involvement, and the studio had more involvement in Warner Brother or in Wonder Woman 1 than Wonder Woman 84.
But the thing is also,
and
like,
that's Patty's words.
Yeah,
so.
But like Snyder's not a terrible director. Like it just the tone of the way he likes to make all of his films are one way. He's a great cinematographer as far as like an eye for
imagery,
shots and things like that.
Shots, a lot like Michael Bay can do some amazing action shots. Snyder is great at these epic feeling out, albeit sometimes with way too much slow-mo.
Yeah.
he's good at that. I just don't think he's the world's greatest storyteller.
No, that's the thing, and that's okay, you know?
Yeah.
He can deliver certain things. I thought 300 was really well. I love 300.
I love 300.
Watchmen I thought was good. It was a little long, but
I do enjoy Watchmen a
but
lot.
But it has the right tone for his style.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like I've told you, like I would have loved to seen Snyder do like an Age of Ultron because it needed that to be that dark. Ultron is a very, very dark character.
Yes.
It does not need to be cracking jokes. Like it's a robot. Okay. Anyway,
it's an AI.
It's an AI that killed the Avengers. So it's exciting that at least we're talking about it and that the changes are coming finally. Really. Well, they've been coming for a while, but that they're in the right direction. And also one thing that we didn't talk about is that still Black Adam is in limbo as far as what they're going to do with that going forward, which I do not believe is going to get cut because of the fact that kind of The Rock even coming out himself and defending the fact that the film's actually going to be profitable one way or another.
I saw the articles and some of the kind of like spin, and there's Variety's piece. There's the Hollywood Reporter even mentions it in the source article we've been talking about, where they're like, some people are saying yay, some people are still saying no. Depends on how you look at it. When you include things like merchandise, eventual home video sales and stuff like that, you can see this movie churning a profit. Yes. Off of box office alone, it's very, very close to a break even, if potentially a slim, very, very small profit. But yes, everything included, it's going to make a little bit more than its cost.
If they would have had the markets that they're missing, including China and Russia, yeah, it would have been fine.
China
Rock,
would have definitely
Rock,
built it up.
Yeah,
some.
The Rock would have. Definitely sold it. So
that's
like,
a whole
other
mess right there.
They could have
China.
They could have not forecast any of that. So they put that into consideration. The fact that also is that I think they spent pennies compared to other films as far as marketing, because they just rode the back of The Rock as far as his almost half a billion of influence that he has on social media. And so so for what it was, the timing it came out and everything. Because I had a little bit of Black Adam fatigue by that point anyway, also. And then also it's the fact of like, what is this and why do I care, despite the fact that it's The Rock? It's just kind of floating out there.
Yeah.
Right? At least with Shazam, this is the second film. We already know the characters and we know what to expect as far as fun. Aquaman, again, a continuation. And there's a curiosity if Amber Heard is even going to be in it or... actually, I think she is. The producer was like, what does that have to do with us? We're making a movie. there's that. There's a kind of love for it. So I think overall, some of those films are in way better shape as than Black Adam ever was going to be. And then also, like I get it. He's The Rock. He's a showman. But, like, he hyped it up a little too high.
Yeah.
Like
he did.
Like he like saying
I haven't seen the movie. He did. From everything that I've been told, from the trailers itself, I mean, the second trailer was better than the first, but both of them over overwhelmingly were underwhelming. like how I did that.
So I
get it.
Yeah. So I can see how that'd be in limbo, but at the same time, I think just by brand by itself, I think WB would be like, yeah, we're keeping it.
I don't foresee Gunn discharging all of anything, Gunn and Saffron, and apologies to Peter Saffron or Saffron. I don't know how he actually pronounces it, but Saffron is what it looks like on paper. You don't get your name thrown out there as much, even though you are co-running the show with Gunn. I think Gunn's the more common name. Plus, we also know that he is allegedly, I guess, kind of on the more creative side of things in that house. But I don't see either one of them discharging all of any one part of what already exists. Some of this stuff is going to carry over one way or another, whether it's just the actor in a different version or this same version but in a different setting. A little bit of everything that we've seen is going to make it over. What it looks like going forward, I have no idea, but I do think you keep The Rock around and help him work with him on something that doesn't take a decade to get out.
Well, to be fair, he's gone through 2 or 3 company changes.
Yes, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Give his movie the benefit of the doubt of not being made with so much turmoil, so much confusion, that the next thing that he does is something that's a little bit more cohesive. I think you do give him another shot. Why not? It's The Rock.
Yeah. No, I 100% think they give him another shot because of that alone. I mean, yeah. It just is what it is. So it's nice to see that they're kind of going in a positive direction. It's exciting, at least for me, who is a DC fan, hasn't been able to really enjoy the product in a while.
Yeah,
so good. Yeah. Times.
Well, I think we're all DC'd out for today. I'm sure I'll be listening to a similar conversation as I produce Breaking Geek Radio tomorrow with at least Jammer and Nick. I don't know if Danny will be on. You guys can catch that here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and our podcast network, wherever you get podcasts from. Daily Cog, Breaking Geek, Anime Versal Reviews, AVR Squared, which is Anime Reactions, Genre Shot Trailer Reactions, The Cantina doing Star Wars news and reviews, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem doing the same for the house that Stan built. And hit the red subscribe button, follow us on your favorite app, check out the write-ups, news articles, written news articles, like Manny's write-up of this DC news, written reviews, celebrity interviews that also go up on the LRM YouTube channel, all of that and more at lrmonline.com. Manny, anything else you wanted to say before we end?
I just want to give a shout out to Stargirl because it's season finale and the show's also done. So out of all the classic shows that have been on the DC, classic at this point, all those shows, the only thing left are the last season of The Flash and whatever's left of Lois and Clark or whatever the hell it's called.
Crazy. All right, guys. Well, we'll talk to you next time. Bye.